We get into the parable of the lamp and the light. I want to read that. Get on tape two. The last paragraph is the one that we were just studied here in the book of Mark. Remember the parable of the growing seed and the harvest. First there was the blade, then the air, and then the fruition of it. And he made an application of it somewhat to us as individuals. Application, mind you, I didn't say interpretation. But I think he's right so far as I'm able to tell what little I know, that his interpretation, the blade, in other words, or the kingdom and mystery that is in the church age during this particular time, which the Holy Spirit is active, in which the Holy Spirit is active and completing the mystery hidden from the ages, namely the church, especially from the standpoint that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews in this kingdom. Now, that goes beyond salvation by a long shot. And I'm glad to find it out even at this late day, because way back yonder, years ago, I know in studying Bible analysis, we found out there that people have been saved alike all through the ages. There were some Gentiles that were saved back before Jesus Christ ever came. And then you hear some of them come along and say, but when Christ came then and the Gentiles were allowed into the kingdom, that meant that they could be saved then. It didn't make sense to me. It didn't. And what this is now in this kingdom situation is a total other level, a higher level. Don't you see, than just to be saved and get in the church, because there is a purpose of the church as heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and especially with the sense of administering the kingdom in the millennial age and in the present time. We commonly say, and I think it'll hold up, that the church is the executive of the kingdom. It isn't the kingdom, but so far as kingdom business is concerned now, in this period, and we found this out pretty well during the our studies of the parables, don't you see? The parable of the sower, and then we found out where the devil couldn't stop it. He comes along and imitates it. So we've got the whole picture for this age, and not only that, but what we are up against and what true Christians have been up against through all the ages, and what the New Testament church has had to suffer down through the ages, and so far as that is among churches today, New Testament churches are a minority, by a far minority, and for a New Testament church today to hold tenaciously to the truth once delivered unto the saints is going to make her just a little more unpopular with the world of Christendom, don't you see? All right, now there's your kingdom as in the sense of the church being the executive of the kingdom presently. But the thing we're looking for now is the next stage of it, which is the ear stage. And that's the kingdom in manifestation, which will be experienced during the millennial reign, when there shall be joined, brethren, church and state, if you please, and there will be a reality of righteousness carried out in every facet of life then, kind of like the Catholics tried to do back yonder in the Dark Ages when they thought they had all the political power as well as the ecclesiastical power. All right, what do we face with today? With Muslims trying to make all nations bow itself to the Muslim religion. All right, now, the joining of church and state, the only thing that's wrong with it now is sinful men. But when our glorification comes, and if you and I have been true to the trust that has been given unto us, then you've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you a ruler over a number of things. See? Like that. In other words, that's when the kingdom will be realized in the historical affairs of everyday life of humanity during that period of time. And of course, the nation of Israel then will come to her heights as has been promised under the promises that God has made to her, you see, in the covenants. All right, now, the next, that's the ear state, and then the full corn, that carries us then on into the millennia, into the final glory age, you see. So right here in the book of Mark, and incidentally, I believe there are only about three parables in the book of Mark, which is the book of the servant. But the thing that it does you and me so much good now, and coming to this last paragraph, if these lines are being read by one who is ripe for heaven, having matured in godliness, fear not. The gracious sower, whose loving hand holds the sickle, knows when to gather his precious grain. As you await his moment of reaping, may you abound in hope or expectation as you contemplate the joy of harvest in the heavenly fields above. All right, now there's a joy that one enjoys even now when he goes in the presence of the Lord. But that is all for another purpose, waiting the resurrection, when in new bodies, the earth in the air state then, you see, becomes, takes on the characteristics of perfection that the sons of God will have, according to Romans 8, don't you see? And that's what earth is waiting for, is for the manifestation or the adoption to wit the redemption of body and the son placing of these over in the administration of the affairs of this earth. So that's why I say that we can have the joining of church and state using that term there, because in the New Testament, in the millennial age, we will not have a church then as we know it now, because the church will be glorified then, and Israel will be the nation that God uses as a nation to carry the gospel and the preachments and so on that she was ordained to do back yonder, which she has not done up to date. But the point is this, brethren, as dark as it looks now, just remember the darkest hour, they tell us, is just before the day breaks. And Christ's second coming is given under two figures of speech, especially the bright and morning star, which appears at the darkest hour and announces the sunrise, as it were. And then the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. All right, so now those are things that we can expect, and they are assured, brethren, in the darkness growing gloom of chapter 4, verses 21 and 22. Let's see what we get out of that now. All right. And he said unto them, is the lamp brought in to be put under a peck measure or under a bed, and not on the lampstand? There, these things are hidden, that is, temporarily, only as a means to revelation. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made known. Now, we could have a whole lot to say about that right in the order of Bible study, folks. And that's the reason that I keep telling you this. Don't ever anybody ever go out of here and say, oh, I got my education at CMBI. You tell them you got started maybe here, or maybe you came along, maybe you got started somewhere else. And this was just along the way of furthering your education to another level. But the point is, our education is something that goes on forever and ever. Oh, that if I had that picture framed and that I have at the house. Youth is for learning. Age is for knowing. All right. Now, in the section dealing with the parable in Matthew, we gave consideration to a similar simile Mark here uses, as well as Luke. A further word, however, is necessary, seeing that Mark omits all the other parables that follow this one of the lamp, Matthew 5 and 15, and connects it with that of the sower, saying more or less proverbially, which in Matthew appears in a different context. That Mark's use of the lamp was different from that in Matthew is suggested by Ellicott now, who comments, looking at our Lord's method of teaching by the repetition of proverbs under different aspects and on different occasions, it is not unlikely that this of the candle was actually spoken in the connection in which we find it here. There, that is, their disciples' knowledge of the meaning of the parable was not given them for themselves alone. Now get this. But was to shine forth unto others also. Now that's brought out in Luke 8 and 16, you see, along there. So we probably owe to the saying so uttered, the record of this parable given in 3 out of 4 Gospels. The reason for teaching in parables is given in Mark 4, 10 to 12. Now let's look at that. All right. And as soon as he was alone, those who were around him with the 12 apostles began to ask him about the parable. And he said unto them, to you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God. That is, the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable, in order that they may indeed look and look, but not perceive, and may hear and hear, but not grasp, and compare and comprehend, lest haply they should turn again, and their willful rejection of the truth should be forgiven them. Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. All right, now, let's drop right back, for instance, to the 11th verse to notice a thing. And he said unto them, to you has been entrusted the secret, the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, just a minute, brethren. Somebody, I forget who it was I was talking with not too long ago, somewhere, and we was talking about kingdom, and he just says, that's something that I don't know a thing in the world about. And he's one of our preachers. Now, just a minute here. Let's read this in the light of that. And he said unto them, to you has been entrusted the mystery or the secret of the kingdom of God. That is, the sacred counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. And so, brother, there's something wrong with a person when he says, well, I just don't care about making any detailed study of the things that we've been going through here and what you brethren are seeing in the parable. You've had eternal purposes. You know how that comes in, connects with this. You know how the kingdom comes in, connects with this thing. And what it does, it gives you a well-rounded understanding of the whole thing. And I'll tell you what it does to me. It makes the church of the Lord Jesus Christ right now much dearer to me and with a greater responsibility than I've ever seen before. Not only is she to carry the word that means the rebirth of an individual, but she is also trustee of that word for that individual to grow up, mature, that he may have the chance in the future ages to come to be somebody other than to just walk around and look at things, so to speak, out of employment, so to speak. Who would want to be not capable of doing anything? Now, I know a little something about that person. I can see you fellas do things that I can't do physically. And you know how it makes me feel if I don't get a hold of myself. And it makes me sorry. It makes me feel good for nothing and out of place. And I'm just not all that a human ought to be and things like that, don't you see? So we owe it to those church members to carry them on into further understanding of the scriptures. It is given unto you to know the secrets of the kingdom. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to know that. And in Ephesians, it is stated specifically that the church should make these things known. But how is she going to make it known if the pastors don't know it themselves? Somebody say, oh, I don't care. Just so long as I know how to preach and get people saved, well, that's all I care. Well, all right, so far, so good. But that's not all that a person, all that God intends for a person to do, you see. All right, so then, we see the reason for teaching in parables is given. Truth is hidden in parables in order that it may be revealed. Now, we notice here that a thing that is hidden why? In order to be revealed along the way. And so, that's what we're to do. So truth is hidden in parables in order that it may be revealed. Mark 4:21-25. This important principle is further enunciated in the phrase, the measure you give will be measured, you will be the measure you get. The measure you give will be the measure you get. Now that's in Mark 4:24, the American, the revised version. Let me read what this has to say here, verse 24. Of the fourth chapter, and he said unto them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, this is one thing we've already learned for a long time, that truth, giving out what you know, is the one guaranteed way in which you are going to get more. You're going to understand more. And so, the more we give out, the more we'll give. Now, for instance, Brother Nye told me a number of years ago, he said, I would have run out of soap and I'd have had to come back up here and gone to school some more to get me some new sermons and so on if I hadn't taken eternal purposes. But what that did, that made the Bible a connected book from beginning to end, and wherever he could see a sermon, don't you see, in its proper connection all the way through the Bible. Why it was. And he said, for that reason, said, I've never run out of soap, because I can keep learning something new to me to give to my people. And that's something that I think ought to be done. Now, I also believe in repetition, but a preacher can keep preaching the same sermon or thereabouts over and over so long till the people just get tired of it. They get tired of it. And as long as you can keep people expecting more and more and learning more and more and letting them see the hidden truths of the Bible that are like precious jewels and so on, you're going to keep them on their tiptoes, don't you say? And you won't have to be begging them to come and this, that, and the other, or begging somebody to bring somebody else with you, because what excites that church member, he's going to tell his closest neighbor about it, and so on, and he's going to get them interested, and so forth. Now, the parable follows on that of the sower, and related to it teaches them at least two great truths. First, the light of divine truth is given, not to be obscured by the believer's commercial affairs. When you light a candle, do you carry it and put it under the bed? No, sir. Back when they lit a candle, lighted a candle, they usually had a little candle holder that they put it on, you know. And I know I've seen some of the old ones that had a kind of a little saucer-shaped thing with a little handle on it, you know. And in the middle, there was a candle. And that was the way they carried it around to show them one way or the other. So, the bushel, or by its domestic responsibilities, the bed, but to be manifested before all. In other words, we are in the world for something besides business and domestic responsibilities. I've heard a lot of people say something, well, he never did make a profession of faith, he didn't belong to church, but he was a good man. Meaning that he was a good father, so far. You're right, exactly. That's it, exactly. And so this parable teaches us this, that when you and I learn something, we are not to hide that under our business affairs, or I mean just your daily responsibilities. Well, actually, those things can become means to use to show the light. To show the light. All right. And second, the primary obscuration in the parabolic form of teaching was gradually to give way to full illumination. Now, this lets us know, folk, that there's a time period to learning. Now, before I could ever do anything at all with algebra, I needed something that went beforehand. And until I knew arithmetic, and then I didn't know what X plus Y equals Z. I didn't know what X plus Y meant. You see, I had to have arithmetic or something to base that upon. Well, now this is the same way with the truth of God's Word. We learn a truth, we learn another truth, we learn another truth, but the whole thing are all truths connected, just like a brick wall is connected by the joints of the mortar that brings it together and puts it in our mind. And so our knowledge, we first learn one thing, and that's the foundation for something else. But there's just no end to what we can keep on learning as long as we will apply ourselves at all, or even think, meditate upon these things. Now let's get that again. The primary obscuration or hiding in the parabolic form of teaching was gradually to give way to full illumination. Now when we, let's just take, for instance, go back to the parabolic parable, prophetic parables of Matthew 13. And just think now how much more they mean to you today than when we went through them. You see, you have a better understanding of them every day that we live, and so on. Then, in other words, he uses this word, now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now, Paul was speaking especially that back during the days of inspiration, a part was given to this person and he wrote it down, a part was given to this other person, he wrote it down, and so on. Well, we just knew things by installments. But when it was all brought together in the book, then we're face to face. We've got the whole thing before us then, and then we can learn more and more. There's the light, don't you see? Our Lord promised His own, the Divine Spirit, who, when He came, would take the things of Christ and reveal them unto their minds. And that's exactly one of the basis for the inspiration of the writers of the New Testament, was the fact that the Holy Spirit brought to mind many of the things that Christ had told us. But He says, you're not able yet to take them. You've got to advance to a period.
There won't be any bells today, the lights are off, so you'll just have to go by your watches.
Well, I guess it's up then.
Yeah.
Okay, let's read the rest of this paragraph. Our Lord promised His own, the Divine Spirit, who, when He came, would take the things of Christ and reveal them into their mind. This meant that He would unfold the inner spiritual significance, not only of all the parables, but of all the truth He had declared while in their midst. The full revelation, once grasped, was not hid, but published abroad. And let me tell you something, folks. The more you know of it, the more you see it pertains to everyday affairs in every situation, and so many things just furnish a foundation for you to tell it out. All right, we have one more then for next Monday will be what? 13th. 14th. All right.